There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Tim, is they're calling it calling Van Gogh the first selfie king because he painted 43 self-portraits.
Let's talk to another selfie king, the venerable Nick Harper in New York. How are you, Nick?
Hi, Tim. Hi, Claire. Yeah, very good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
I don't mean to include you as selfie king. I know that's the very opposite of what you are and what you stand for, but good to have you back on. I do know, however, about you, Nick, that you are based in New York. You're just back from the Detroit Auto Show. I also know that you're not a petrolhead.
That's right. I don't know why the Detroit Auto Show is always held at this time of year. It's the coldest time of year to do it. January in Detroit is ridiculously freezing. The river's frozen up. The roads are very, very cold. But yes, seen plenty of cars there and lots going on at this year's Auto Show.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this. I've seen some of the social media posts, some of the reports that you've posted. But the battle of the trucks is your kind of main observation, I think. And the big three US motor companies have all revealed new pickup trucks. That is kind of the classic American vehicle, isn't it?
It really is. There's nothing more iconic, I think, than that type of truck. The pickup truck and the SUV sector, it's the biggest selling sector in the United States. And yes, the big three U.S. companies, so Ford, General Motors, Fiat, Chrysler, all putting out rival trucks at the same show, all hoping that they're going to win over customers. I think what's interesting is this year's show, we had lots of announcements about electric. For example, Ford saying they're investing $11 billion over the next 5 years to try and electrify some of their cars to try and move towards that green energy. The problem is that all the consumers want are these gas-guzzling pickup trucks. Gas prices here in the US continue to remain low, so they are in high demand. So there is this industry that's trying to balance the two things, looking to the future, which is likely to be more electric, but having to cater to the consumers who currently just want those big pickup trucks.
Nick, let's move on now. We were promised them and they happened last night, the hashtag fake news media awards. What happened and what are people saying about it?
That's right, yes, the long-awaited. They were meant to happen a week or so ago, but they got pushed back. Donald Trump putting these out, a top 10 list, pretty predictable list. It's got the organizations on there that he's been attacking for the last year or so as fake news. So CNN, New York Times, The Washington Post, they were all on there. Now, these were stories which in some instances the reporter had got it wrong or had simply misrepresented the facts. To some extent, the news organizations in some cases had to issue corrections and apologies. So some of these stories were simply incorrect. It wasn't a case of the president just taking umbrage to the coverage that was against him. He also mentioned that the Russian collusion story, which has dominated headlines for the last year, the idea that the Trump administration worked with Russia to help to win the election, he said that was the greatest hoax of all time perpetuated on the American people. Winning, though, the fake news awards, coming in at the number one spot, was an opinion piece. So it wasn't something that was completely incorrect. It was just someone's opinion. A New York Times reporter who felt that following President Trump's win in the election, the economy would not recover. We've seen the opposite, going from strength to strength. The Dow hitting 24 hours ago at the 26,000-point mark for the first time in its history. But there has been criticism of these awards and one rival award, the Pinocchio Awards, put together by a former Obama administration ethics czar, really trying to contrast the idea of this so-called fake news with the president's untruths. Many of the media on the left saying that President Trump has put out many lies and untruths since he came to office. Washington Post has a list of about 2,000 since his inauguration. So these are Pinocchio Awards, an attempt, really, I guess, to balance the fake news with the untruths coming from the White House.
Nick, can I ask you about Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist at the White House, called subpoenaed to appear before a grand jury by the special investigation team looking into U.S.-Russian collusion. What more have we learned about this since it popped up, 24 hours ago?
That's right, yes. He will be interviewed by prosecutors. There was a possibility of him testifying before a grand jury publicly, but he will be interviewed by Robert Mueller's team. He's leading this special investigation, looking into this collusion with Russia. Now, this follows a closed-door meeting that Steve Bannon had earlier this week with the House Intelligence Committee, in which he was apparently less than forthcoming, refusing to answer many of the questions. And all of this coming just after the recent release of that very controversial book, the Fire and Fury book, by a journalist who said he had unprecedented access in the White House for the last year, in which he made that claim that Steve Bannon called that meeting back in 2016 treasonous. That was the meeting between Trump's presidential campaign team in the run-up to the election and a Russian lawyer. So Steve Bannon, very much a person of interest that Robert Mueller's team, looking into this potential collusion, wanted to interview.
Last one, Nick, before we let you go. An Apple facing one of the largest tax bills in US history.
That's right, huge tax bill, potentially $38 billion. It's all because they're trying to bring back pots of cash to the United States. Overseas, they've got roughly $250 billion worth of investments, money invested offshore in other companies. They are looking to try and bring that back to the U.S. following changes in the tax regulations here, the Trump administration cutting the corporate tax from 35% to 21%. It also brings down the amount of tax that companies would have to pay on profits that they've made overseas. So Apple really seeing this as a good time to try and bring the money back, but it still means a whopping bill, $38 billion potentially in taxes. And they've also set out long-term plans, investing more in the U.S. About 20,000 jobs they plan to create, and contributing, they reckon, in the next 5 years, somewhere in the region of $350 billion to the U.S. economy alone.
Nick Harper, based in New York. Always good to talk to you, Nick. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.